Hi, guys. Welcome to the Should Be Known podcast. I am Clayton. It's episode 35. And that's all I could think of for the piano today, just this thing I came up with. That's kind of it. Maybe I could expound on it sometime, but that's all I got today. Hey, it's good to be here. I have a quiet moment in the house. I did some writing today, and it's been a beautiful day, and I'm glad you can be here. We're making a lot of progress in psychology, not the psychology you know, but a psychology that is kind of coming from a different angle or adding a principle, namely self-deception, self-justification by self-deception, you might say. And we're making a lot of headway, I think. I think it's good. It's fun. It's a intellectual challenge, and I'm glad you are here to join me. So I'm going to go straight to the notes. I'm going to try to do this so that I have a minimal amount of editing. So you know that thing where in self-deception you kind of can't tell the violation from its justification? You know, we have this light that comes to us constantly. We all know good from evil. We know right from wrong. And it's there all the time. And what's right and wrong for us may be different at any different moment, maybe different for a different person, but it still comes from God. It's independent of us in a way. So it's always right. And we have to be in concordance with that, or else we will be not only in the wrong, but we will self-deceive. Meaning we will paint the world in a different way in order to justify our position, maybe our action that we did. What did we do wrong? Well, we went against the true light. We went against the truth, you might say. And here we are, we're stuck, and we have to paint the world in this way that's erroneous, and it leads us to all kinds of weird actions, maladaptive behaviors, you know. We do things that aren't good for us and aren't good for anybody else for that matter. And we are really basically looks like we're justifying ourselves. We're sitting around, going around justifying ourselves. And it's like, why are you doing that? It's not helping you. It's not helping anybody. And you're not in the right. And it's just because we have to, as long as we're not in the right. Okay, so, but you know how we do that, and you look for, well, why are you justifying yourself? Did you do something that you know is wrong? And the answer is yes, but the thing we did might not be an action, might not be a concrete, thing. It might be more of a mental assertion thing, it's hard to pinpoint. It's like whenever we cross that line, whether it's in action or in thought or whatever, we cross the line either way. I'm trying to understand this. And it would be easy to say, well, we do something wrong and then we justify it after that. And that's kind of the preliminary way to understand this principle, I guess, or a preliminary way that's easy. But it's not totally accurate, because we actually justify ourselves at the same time that we go against this light of truth. Okay, so that's what happens. And I wonder if we need to say, instead of saying we do the one and then the other happens, we do the action and then we justify ourselves. We just have to say it all happens at once. It's harder to think about that way. In a way, it's not as intuitive, but we've got to be accurate. It's like the theory of relativity is not necessarily intuitive right off the bat. You got to think about it. You got to sit there and figure it out. And lots of people never get there. But I think it's important. Also, quantum physics. It's also unintuitive, the way particles behave, but it's still there. We've got to wrap our heads around it if we want to get anywhere. And so this stuff with psychology is likewise kind of unintuitive. It's true, it's right, as far as the theory goes, but it's just hard to wrap your head around, I feel like. But it's okay, we're in good company. We're in good company. So you might say it like this: anytime you go against the light, you self-deceive. That way you're not making it a cause and effect thing, or like a before and after thing, like they're two separate things, because somehow it's one thing. The only way to separate it is in concept. And if you go into cause and effect and think about how cause and effect works, it's really, you realize that it's all kind of connected. And, you know, one thing causing another thing is more of a conceptual thing than an actual thing. But anyway, we won't get into cause and effect today, although it's in my notes a little bit. I guess we'll just have to say today that it's sufficient to know that it happens at the same time. All right, and more on that in a minute. Now, I'm going to move on to the next thought. So, now to a risky subject. What do I say? I wanted to say something about episode 2, which is titled Religious Self-Justification and Self-Deception. So, in that episode, I talked about how this thing for me has always been really clear to see how if you need to justify yourself for going against the truth, and I'm speaking about religious truth, then it's easy. You discount that religious truth, and then you think you're scot-free, but you're really not, because you have to keep fighting against it, and it's bad. So I'm going to read my notes here. A person at any time could say, "Oh, but that's not why I left. That's not why I left my faith. That's not why I persecute my faith. I just persecute my faith because it's so bad and it hurt me so much." I would say, "Really? What did your faith do so bad to you? How are you focusing so much on those things in light of everything? And why can't you leave it alone? What makes you feel the need to slander your faith? Why can't you leave it alone? Do you not know that you must be in the wrong? Else why would you act as if you have this constant need to justify yourself by slandering your faith? That's not why you left your faith, you say. Okay, well, leave it alone then. If you can leave it alone, maybe I'll believe that you're in the right. But if you can't leave it alone, we have to be suspicious of you. We are left with no choice. People who can't leave something alone are justifying themselves for hating something they shouldn't. Well, I have nothing to justify myself for. I just hate those things because they're bad. Okay, then leave it alone. And you can't. You can't because you know inside somewhere that you shouldn't be hating on that thing or that person, and so you have to justify yourself in your mind by slandering that thing or that person. And you can't stop because no matter how much you slander it, inside you know that you're in the wrong. Else why keep trying to convince yourself and others that that thing or that person is bad without stopping? Many people don't understand that they need to be on the lookout for self-justification. It's an indication that you're in the wrong on that point. If you find yourself getting angry about a certain topic and you can't seem to stop and you have all kinds of reasons that thing is bad, and you find yourself wanting to tell others it's bad, take a look at yourself. Take a look at that thing and see if you're not in the wrong about it. You'll have to swallow some pride. It's in there, I guarantee it. Think of it this way. The Lord has given us a great way to see that we're in the wrong about stuff. If we act like we're justifying ourselves, if we start coming up with multiple reasons something is bad and are hating on that thing, it's a great indication that we're probably in the wrong about that thing. Not that that thing could not have faults, or something could be wrong about that thing, or not that you're wrong about every point, but the fact that you're coming up with multiple reasons why something's wrong, that's a definite sign. You only need one reason to do anything. Well, that's definitely not how I intended that paragraph to go. All I was going to say was that a person could say, "Well, that's not why I'm against my old faith, or whatever. And it's possible they could have other reasons, I guess. But really, to me, you'd have to be totally unfamiliar with it, having some disinformation that you chose to believe, or very incomplete information, and you have to have been content to base your opinion on that disinformation or incomplete information without seeking for yourself. I remember a story of one of the early leaders of the church who, when they weren't familiar with the church, but they heard of a meeting happening from some missionaries and some people were speaking against it. And they thought, well, since there's this opposition to it, it must have something true about it. So they went to the meeting. And of course, it ended up being true. That's how we need to think. That's how wise we should be. If people are intent on slandering something, we should pay attention to that thing, knowing that only good can attract persecution like that. People don't feel a need to persecute evil. The righteous don't persecute anything. They fight against evil, but not because they can't stop. They ignore it, or they take action, but they can leave it alone just fine. You don't think such and such is a good thing? Ignore it then. Do what I do. Leave it alone. Go about your life. Be well. Why are you still standing here? Go. You can't? Well, think about that. All right. I think I'm done with that part. All right. So that principle seems really clear to me, that you discount something that's true, you know, in your mind in order to justify yourself. It just makes all the sense in the world to me. I don't know how that wouldn't be obvious to everybody, but it seems like it's not. It must not be, at least, because so many people do it constantly. They just attack what's true, and it just seems like, well, why are you attacking it so much? Why don't you just leave it alone? Do you get my point? Get my drift? All right, so this same self-justification is active in depression and anxiety. So the same stuff, the same justification, the same behavior. But the problem is, I don't know if it's a problem or not, but it's a problem in my mind, because whereas sometimes it's condemnable, sometimes it's not, at least the way I'm understanding it. Sometimes it's absolutely not, and depression and anxiety are an example of where it's most likely not. And I don't mean most likely in the sense that if I'm correct, it's not, or the probability that it is low. What I mean is, in some cases, it could be related, but in many cases, it's not. That's how I'm thinking, at least. We've talked about that too. And we're going to leave that right there, I guess. Self-deception happens at the same time as being just in the wrong. There's no previous act necessary. The justification needs its own justification. Justification itself requires justification. The justification is the wrong. And I should talk about that some more sometime, maybe. And what is the relationship between condemnable self-justification and non-condemnable self-justification? I probably shouldn't get into that because I don't have an answer at this moment. All right, final thought. It's like this. You can think the president has faults, but the moment you do something you shouldn't, like slander him as a person, you cross the line. And from then on, you have to see him as deserving of slander, which is a mischaracterization. Now, I'm not saying that the person you wish to slander is faultless. Not at all. I'm just saying I'm talking about you, not him, you. When you slander a person, doesn't matter who it is, you are under the necessity of justifying your position slash your act by continuing to slander him and see him falsely. You're fine as long as you stay in the right, as long as you respect that person properly, even while criticizing certain actions or attributes or whatever, you're fine. You can level legitimate criticisms of things. I'm not saying you can't criticize anybody legitimately in a respectful way. But the moment you cross the line and are improper and untruthful in your criticism or whatever, you cross the line to where you have to justify yourself. It's a characterization of the untruthful way of being and the truthful way of being, where the truthful, you don't have to justify anything, and the untruthful, you're constantly justifying yourself. Do you see the difference? There's untruthful and truthful. And I keep wondering if this is the day and night difference that Mormon described. It's a fine line, we say, yet it's day and night, according to Mormon. The same activity, sleeping, eating, being attracted to something, can go too far. And the difference is day and night. Isn't that what he was saying? It's like Terry Warner said, there's two ways of being. It's not just a cause and effect thing. We're describing two ways of being. He called it I-it and I-you, like I-it and I-you. And I kind of like to call it truthful and untruthful, but it's the same thing. There are really only two ways of being, not three. You're in accordance with the light, the truth, or you're not. And there's no in between. The one way is good, the other way is evil. So how does that work on a moment-to-moment basis? And I'm not sure. This is where I'm going to leave this thought. I know I have faults and weakness, and that I'm surely wrong about some things and right about others. But if you can only be one way at a time, how does that work? Subject for another day, I guess. I'll have to think about that. That's a good question, and I stand by the thing I said about there only being two ways to be. Okay, guys, we're at the end of our podcast. Guys, this is the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixon. This is episode 35. I don't know what the title is yet. We'll figure one out as I go through it. Okay, and that's the podcast, guys. Have a great day. We'll be back. Bye.